بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Respected elders and brothers, the purpose for commencing this program is in order for us to discuss the lives of the various Anbiya alayhim as-salam in detail. And alhamdulillah, we hear the names of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, and sometimes we even hear certain of their incidents. But many a times the incident is given in a bayan, and the speaker, according to the necessity of his topic, he will add that part of the incident which fits in with his topic. But these incidents are recorded in great detail in the books of history, in the books of tafsir. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Definitely in the incidents of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, they are great lessons for people of intellect and people of understanding. So when we look at these incidents, when we ponder over these incidents, the way the Anbiya alayhim as-salam carried themselves out in different situations, the characteristics and qualities which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had bestowed them with, their undivided trust that they had placed on Allah ta'ala, and the yaqeen and conviction that they had on the promises of Allah ta'ala, that definitely the promise of Allah ta'ala will take place, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will definitely assist them, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will definitely defeat their enemies. So when a person listens to this, then these are great lessons for the person. In another ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions, وَكَذَٰلِكَ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلْ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Addressing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that similarly we will relate to you the incidents of the prophets through which we strengthen your hearts. The incidents of the prophets are such that when a person listens to it, when he ponders over it, he will find some type of strength, some type of determination and willpower that is created in his heart. Unfortunately, this is one of the things that we lack the most today. Some small hiccup in our lives, some small difficulty that comes, Allah Ta'ala puts some small test over us, and immediately we become discouraged, we become demotivated, at times we even become despondent. We start losing hope. But when we hear these incidents and we realize what difficult tests these great personalities have to undergo despite their rank in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, then we understand and realize that the test that Allah Ta'ala puts us through is nothing. Allah Ta'ala will put the most lowest test and the easiest test over us. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَشَدُّ بَلَاءً. Which people go through the most difficulties and trials and tests and calamities in the world? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Al-Anbiya, thumma al-amthal fal-amthal. The Anbiya alayhi wa sallam go through the most difficult tests and trials in the world. Then who is closest to them, and then who is closest to them? Each person is tested according to his deen. If he is firm in his deen, Allah Ta'ala's tests are very, very hard, and Allah Ta'ala's tests are very severe on him. But if the person is weak in his deen, like how we are, then Allah Ta'ala makes it very easy for that person. Allah Ta'ala does not put him through difficult tests. So by listening to the stories of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, we will find that type of determination also created in our hearts. Because it is we are passing through the months of Hajj now, and we are approaching the days of Qurbani and the days of Hajj. We decided to commence with the life of Hazrat Ibrahim ala Nabiina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is amongst the most highest ranking of messengers, the most highest of prophets. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions the incidents of Ibrahim alayhi salam in approximately 63 different parts of the Quran Sharif. In 25 surahs of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was that prophet after which every other prophet that had come from his progeny. Every other prophet who came after the time and era of Ibrahim alayhi salam were all from the progeny of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was born in a place that is called Babel or Babylon. Babylon is a very ancient city that still exists till now in Iraq. It's approximately 85 kilometers south of Baghdad. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was born in the city of Babel. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was born, then he was born and brought up in the environment of idol worship. His father's name was Azar, and some historians say that his father's name was Tariq Wadakha, and some say it was Tariq. But the Quran Sharif refers to the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam as Azar. So some reconcile in this way that perhaps he had both names, Azar and Tariq, and some say that no, his original name was Tariq, but his title or his nickname was Azar. And because that was what he was normally called with, that's why the Quran Sharif referred him to as Azar. And why was he called Azar? Then the different reasons given for this. But some of the reasons are, one is that Azar means a lover of idols. So because of his devotion and he loved, and his love that he had for the idols, that is why he was called Azar. And some say that it means a support, an assistance, a help, because he was always a support to his people and community, that is why he was given the title of Azar. Azar's profession was that he was a person who made idols. He was a carpenter. This was his job, day in and day out, from morning to night, that he would design and he would fashion different types of idols. He would shape out the eyes, he would shape out the nose, he would shape out the ears, he would shape out the mouth. Ibrahim alayhi salam, seeing his father from a young and tender age designing these idols and building these idols, he thought to himself, Allah Ta'ala had given him that understanding. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, وَلَقَدْ آتِينَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْتَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ. Definitely we had given Ibrahim alayhi salam his understanding from before. From the young age he understood that this can never be my creator. I can never worship this idol. How can I worship an idol which my father makes in the morning and he sells in the evening? How can this ever be my creator? Ibrahim alayhi salam took this to be like wooden toys. How children will play with toys, this was like a wooden toy. Anyway, Ibrahim alayhi salam, from a very young age, he started asking questions. All these different types of questions. But he realized that the very center and the source of idol worship was his very own house. Because his father was manufacturing and he was making those idols. And all the other people were turning to his father to purchase these idols. Because of the love that his father had for idols and because of his business. That is why people all were involved in idol worship. So he decided first to give dawah to his father. He thought to himself, let me first address my father, and maybe if my father comes right, then there is hope that other people also will take a lesson. So the Quran Sharif discusses this advice of Ibrahim alayhi salam to his father in detail, wherein Allah Ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. The wording that Ibrahim alayhi salam used was very, very beautiful. Although his father was an idol worshipper, in Islam, there can be no sin that is worse than polytheism and ascribing partners to Allah Ta'ala. That is the greatest form of oppression. But his father being involved in the worst sin, Ibrahim alayhi salam addresses his father, Ya Abati. You translate as, my dear father. لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. Why do you worship that which cannot see, nor can it hear, nor can it benefit you in any way? يَا أَبَتِي إِنِّي قَدْ جَاءَنِي مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَمْ يَأْتِكْ فَاتَّبِعْنِي أَهْدِكَ صِرَاطًا سَوِيًّا. My dear father, that information has come to you, come to me, which has not come to you. Follow me, and I will guide you to the straight path. Ya abati, lima ta'budu shaytan? Inna shaytana kana lirrahmani asiya. My dear father, why do you worship shaytan? Why do you obey shaytan? This is actually shaytan that is putting this thought in your mind and causing you to worship these idols. Verily shaytan has been very disobedient to Rahman, the most merciful and the most kind Allah. Ya abati, inni akhafu an yamassaka adhabu min ar-rahman fatakuna lish-shaytani waliya. My dear father, I fear that you will be afflicted with the punishment from the most merciful, that is Allah, and then you will become a companion to shaytan. But Ibrahim alayhi salam's father was not impressed with his advices. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's father became very angry and furious, and he told him, "Araghibun anta an alihati ya Ibrahim? O Ibrahim, are you averse to my gods and my deities? La illam tantahi la arjumannaka wahjurni maliya. Should you not stop, then I would pelt you and separate from me, leave me for good." It is like how in our words we will say that pack your bags and go away, and I don't want to look at your face. So this is the harsh tone that Ibrahim alayhi salam's father used against him. But again, Ibrahim alayhi salam, how does he respond to his father? He could have told his father, "Well, if that's the case, then I don't need you, I don't need anything." He said, "Qala salamun alayk, sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi, innahu kana bi hafiya." Peace be upon you. Meaning that I am not going to retaliate using vulgar language. سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي. Soon I will make dua for you to my Rabb. I will seek forgiveness to you for my Rabb. Verily, verily, my Rabb is most merciful and most compassionate and kind to me. وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَأَدْعُوا رَبِّي أَسَىٰ أَلَّا أَكُونَ بِدُعَاءِ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا. I separate from you and your idols, and I turn my attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have this hope that I will never ever be deprived by calling my Lord and calling my Rabb. Ibrahim alayhi salam, at this time his age was approximately 16 years, and he leaves the house and he goes away. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, this did not deter him from his mission. He did not lose courage. He did not lose his spirit. He understood and realized Allah Ta'ala sent him for a purpose to this world. And Ibrahim alayhi salam thought that now I need to broaden this da'wat of mine. I need to extend my da'wat. Before I was just addressing my father, but now my audience will not be my father only, rather it will be the entire community. And wherever Ibrahim alayhi salam got a chance to speak to anyone, then he spoke to them and he always asked them the same question. That why are you worshipping something that cannot hear and cannot see? هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يُبْصِرُونَ. That can they hear or can they see? هَلْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَضُرُّونَ. Can these idols benefit you? Can they harm you? Why do you worship this? So the only answer people had for him was, قَدْ وَجَدَنَا آبَاءَنَا لَهَا عَابِدِينَ. We have found our forefathers worshipping. This is coming from generation to generation. So Ibrahim alayhi salam would reply, قَدْ كُنْتُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. You and your forefathers were in clear misguidance. The reason for this is, they were ignorant people, their forefathers were also ignorant people. Their forefathers were not worshipping idols based on any concrete evidence or proofs, but they were doing it out of ignorance. So they were misguided and you are also misguided. It is a different thing if you're following someone because you know that person has got knowledge, or that person is doing what he's doing on concrete arguments and proofs. Because of his knowledge, because of his proofs, he's doing it. He's got arguments. But you are following him. That is a different situation. This was a total different situation. Anyway, Ibrahim alayhi salam, despite all the efforts he made, the people were not receptive to him. They did not really take him serious. And they thought to themselves, this young boy, maybe there's something wrong with him. And they did not pay any attention to them, to him. Ibrahim alayhi salam then decided that I am going to have to devise a plan by which I am going to show these people how helpless and how weak their deities are. So then he began saying, لَأَكِيدَنَّ تَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ. By Allah, I'm going to devise a plan and a plot against your idols after you leave and go away. One day when all of you go away somewhere, I'm going to plot against your idols. So some commentators of the Quran Sharif say that he said this softly. And some say, no, he said it loudly. And he said it to different people. And the reason why he said it to them is so that they know that this man is already planning and he's got a plot in his mind. And he wants to see if those idols can defend themselves. If they were really gods and deities, they were supposed to pick up that this man has got a plot in his mind, he wants to break us. So one day, Ibrahim alayhi salam was waiting for the opportunity. All the people were going for a fair. There was some festival, some fair that was happening. And they approached Ibrahim alayhi salam and they told him, why don't you join us? So the Quran Sharif mentions, فَنَظَرَ نَظَرَةً فِي النُّجُومِ فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ. Ibrahim alayhi salam looked to the stars and then he said, I am not well, I am sick. Now before we go on, why did Ibrahim alayhi salam look towards the stars? Some commentators of the Quran Sharif of this view, it was just a coincidence. Sometimes a person is thinking, he look up and then he think, what answer am I going to give? He did not have any intention in doing it. But most of the commentators of the Quran Sharif explain that in Babylon at that time, astronomy was something that was prevalent. People would normally practice astronomy. So he wanted to give the impression to the person that what I'm saying, I'm serious about it. It's not something I'm just making up. That person now saw that he looked into the stars, and he must be serious. It's not that he's joking, or not that he's just making up the story. Then as far as part he says that I'm sick, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, hadith comes in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif, that لَمْ يَكْذِبْ إِبْرَاهِيمْ غَيْرَ ثَلَاثٍ. Ibrahim alayhi salam never spoke a lie besides on three occasions. Now from the three occasions, this was one of the occasions. However, the commentators of hadith explain that here lie is not in the literal meaning, but rather it refers to something which we know as what is known as storia, where the person speaking has got one intention in his mind, and the person listening, he takes another meaning, and he takes out something else from that speech. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Inni saqim, I am sick, what did he mean? So some say that the word saqim, just as it is used for sickness, similarly it is used for frustration. So he meant, I am sick and tired of this idol worship of yours. That is what he meant. I am frustrated with it. He did not mean literally sick. And some say maybe Ibrahim alayhi salam on that day he was feeling a bit unwell. Sometimes the person's head is paining, some small problem he's got. So he referred to that. But the person who was listening thought that no, he's very sick and he cannot attend the festival. Anyway, all the people went out for the festival, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, he finds this ideal opportunity where he goes to the temple or the place where the idols were kept. And he goes in with a chopper or an axe, and he addresses that idols. Ala ta'kulun? Are you not eating? Why did he say, are you not eating? Generally, people at that time, they would take food and leave it in front of the idols. And sometimes after a little while they'll come back, or after 1-2 days, and then eat the food and say the idol blessed the food. So Ibrahim al-Islam addressed the idol and said, Ala ta'kulun? Are you not eating? You're supposed to be gods, deities. Ma lakum la tantiqun? What is the matter? You can't speak. Faragha alayhim darban bil yameen. And he began striking these idols. And the Quran Sharif in another ayat Allah Ta'ala says, فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُذَاذًا إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ. Ibrahim alayhi salam made those idols into bits and pieces. He cut them into bits of pieces, except the big idol. There was one big idol, he left that idol. And then he took his chopper and he tied it around the shoulder of the big idol. And he waited for the people to come back. Now when the people came back, they come to their temple and they see their gods have been chopped to bits and pieces. قَالُوا مَنْ فَعْلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. They were sad, they were distressed, they were angry. Who did this with our gods? Indeed, he is a wrongdoer. How could anyone do this to our idols? قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَيْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. So some of them said, no, we heard a young boy speaking about his idols who is called Ibrahim. So they said, فَأْتُوا بِهِ عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ. Bring him now in front of all the people. We need to set an example with this boy. This is exactly what Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted. He wanted the whole congregation, he wanted all the people to be there, so that his message can be loud and clear. So they asked him, أَأَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِيَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Did you do this to our idols, O Ibrahim? Ibrahim alayhi salam said, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْتِقُونَ. He says, perhaps this big one here, maybe he did it. Why don't you ask them if they can speak? I think this big one, maybe he did it. See, he's got the chopper around his shoulder. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he said this statement, now again, this was not a lie. If you look at the way I translated the ayat, he said, perhaps the big one did it. That is how the ulama explaining this ayat. He did not say the big one did it, because then it would have been a lie, because he knows he did it. فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. So then, they began looking at one another and addressing themselves, and they said, definitely, indeed, you are the wrongdoers. This boy is not a stupid boy. He's not a foolish boy. He knows what he's saying. You are on the wrong. But then, ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَا أُولَٰئِ يَنْتِقُونَ. Then bowing their heads, immediately they changed their attitude, they changed their opinion. For a little while, they gave some consideration to the message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But now again, shaitan had the better of them. And they said, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَا أُولَٰئِ يَنْتِقُونَ. You know very well that these gods can't speak. Why do you tell us to ask them? So then Ibrahim alayhi salam, this is what he was waiting for. أَفَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Do you then worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which cannot benefit you, that which cannot harm you? How can you worship? أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Woe be to you and to your gods besides Allah. Don't you have any understanding and intellect? This is when now the people became furious. They became angry. They thought to themselves, we have to avenge on behalf of our gods. قَالُوا حَرِّقُوهُ وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. They said, burn him and assist your gods if you're going to do anything. Burn him and assist your gods. If there's anything you're going to do, you have to do this. You're going to have to revenge on behalf of your gods. So, they decided to light a very big fire. And another ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, قَالُوا لَهُ بُنْيَانًا فَأَلْقُوهُ بِالْجَحِيمِ. They said, build a structure. So they took a whole lot of big stones and they cordoned out a certain place. And then they started taking wood and putting on the sides sheets of wood, and eventually they made it like a structure, and then they started throwing the wood inside. And everyone in the community, they were very passionate about this. The old people, the young people, the children, the women, all of them taking wood, firewood, and throwing it inside, because they felt this is a very great ibadat we are doing. We are saving our gods. To such an extent, it is mentioned in the kitabs that if a woman was sick, then she would take a vow that if Allah Ta'ala gives a shifa, she will go and throw wood in that. And that is how they, that is what, that if Allah Ta'ala, but if the idols give a shifa, she will take wood and she will throw into it. So approximately it is mentioned that for 1 month they prepared this. And then they ignited it, they lit the fire. And for about 7 days they tried to fan that fire, so that they were sure. And eventually it was such a big fire, the flames were going right very, very high, that if a bird had to fly over that fire, then the bird will get burnt. That is what a big fire these people had lit. But now they lit that big fire, and they're thinking to themselves, how are we going to throw this youngster inside the fire? So Shaitan put the thought in their mind that you will use a catapult, and that will be used to throw this youngster into the fire. So the catapult was used, and here Ibrahim alayhi salam is tied up and is put into the catapult, and he is being flung into the fire. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, the hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif, where he says at that time when Ibrahim alayhi salam was being thrown into the fire, then the only words that were on his mouth was, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for me, and Allah is an excellent guardian. It is mentioned at that time, all the farishtas were distressed. The earth and the sky was distressed. The entire creation all the animals were distressed. Imagine one man, one youngster, one boy who dedicates his life for Allah, who makes his life, his purpose to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of that one boy, the entire farishtas in the skies, all of them are distressed. All the animals, the earth and the skies, all cry out to Allah, "Oh Allah, what is happening to Ibrahim? What a position he is in." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, "You go and assist him if you want to. I give you all permission to assist him." And here Jibreel alayhi salam comes and he says, we're going a little bit over the time now, but we'll finish this incident inshallah and stop this program. Jibreel alayhi salam comes and he asks Ibrahim, "Alaka haja? Do you have any need? Can I assist you in any way?" Ibrahim alayhi salam responds, "Amma ilayka fala. As for to you, I got no need. I don't have any need from you. I don't need your assistance." This is what is now known as undivided trust in Allah Ta'ala. Undivided trust. His mind is not on the farishtas, it's not on the angels, it's not on the creation, it is only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Ibrahim alayhi salam is being thrown. The angel of rain is waiting that Allah Ta'ala instructs him to pour the rain over the fire so that the fire will be extinguished, but Allah does not instruct him to do that. Allah Ta'ala directly gives the command to the fire, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. We said, "O fire, become cool and become peaceful on Ibrahim." Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that if Allah Ta'ala only gave the instruction, "Become cool," then Ibrahim alayhi salam would have felt cold in the fire. But Allah Ta'ala also gave the instruction of "become peaceful." So the fire became a very peaceful place for him. Ibrahim alayhi salam was then thrown into the fire. He was flung into the fire. The people were amazed. He is not getting burnt. Nothing got burnt. The only thing got burnt was the ropes that they had around him. The ropes and the shackles that they had around him, that got burnt. Not Ibrahim alayhi salam's clothing, not his body, nothing got burnt. That is why some narrations show that at that time his father Azar, the best statement that he made in his life was, he made a statement like this to say, "Excellent is the Lord of Ibrahim. Look at how great is his Lord, and look at how his Lord is protecting him. Even in the fire, he has made the fire cool for him." Ibrahim alayhi salam's mother, she asked Ibrahim, that, "Oh Ibrahim, make dua to your Lord that he also allows me to come through this fire." Although his parents were idol worshippers, but eventually the love for the mother is something that is inevitable. It is something that's definitely going to be there. And Ibrahim alayhi salam makes dua. His mother goes into the fire. She hugs him, she kisses him, and she comes out. So this is Ibrahim alayhi salam is in the fire. Jibreel alayhi salam is sent to wipe the perspiration out of Ibrahim alayhi salam's face. The angel of shade is sent to shade Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is in this fire, and some narrations show that he remained in the fire for approximately 40 or 50 days. But Ibrahim alayhi salam says, "The time that I spent in the fire was the most enjoyable time in my entire life. I wish that I got that enjoyment throughout my life, the enjoyment that I had in the fire." This is how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had protected Hazrat Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. And after that time, Ibrahim alayhi salam walked out from the fire, and absolutely there was no harm caused to him. The people were astonished, the people were shocked. But respected friends, despite this great miracle, there was only one person that accepted Islam on seeing this miracle, and that was the nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam had two brothers, Nahur and Haran. Haran's son, who we know as Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, was a young boy at that time also. He was the only one person who accepted Islam based on the miracle that he had seen of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Inshallah, we will continue with this next week. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.